also, just in the tavern, which is another tune we have been learning. And so last week we sang A, this week we'll sing B.
Because of all
conversation that we had had earlier today. I think it's interesting to draw attention to David's kind of prayer in this psalm as he talks about the what remembrance is man going to give to God when he's in the grave? And who is he that will do the give praise lying in the grave? It's probably a good thing that we all would consider David as he considered possible death as he was being chased by Saul, most likely, when the psalm was written. That he was thinking about if he ends up dead, how much he would lack being able to, or how much he would miss being able to praise God in the grave. And he reminds God to keep him alive so that he can maybe sing the rest of the psalms. And I don't know how oftentimes we think about what life is for, what kind of worship we're supposed to have towards God, but that's kind of amazing to me that David laments and the possibility of death that he won't be able to pray to God. So oftentimes we say, well, when we die, we're going home and we're going to sing praises to the Lord. Apparently David, for some reason, appreciated being able to sing praises to God while he was alive. Something to think about. Let's go to the back of our psalm books. We have two creeds that we have of the book of Revelation that I think pertain to some of what we've been studying and something we should always keep in mind as we consider the way the Lord works with us and how what he does promise us in that state that we were just referring to. So this is a creed from Revelation 21, 3 through 8. When John heard a great voice out of the heaven saying,
Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men,
and he will dwell with them,
and they shall be his people,
and God himself shall be with them,
and be their God.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes,
and there shall be no more death,
neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain,
for the former things are passed away.
He that sat upon the throne said,
Behold, I make all things new.
The second is from the same text of Revelation, in continuance. Jesus said unto John, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, It is done.
I am Alpha and Omega,
the beginning and the end.
I will give unto him that is the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely.
For he that overcometh shall inherit all things.
And I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
But the fearful and the unbelieving,
and the abominable and murderers,
and whoremongers and sorcerers,
and the idolaters and all liars,
shall have their part
in the lake which burneth
with fire and brimstone,
which is the second death.
And so those are definitely things that we always keep in mind, that God promises to always visit our guilt upon us unless we are redeemed through Christ. So we will save the psalm book for after Bible study.
Well, I hope everybody realizes that while we aren't the best psalm singers, people do seem to very much appreciate what we are offering in our psalm singing. We have at least as many people listening to the psalms, sometimes more, than we do to Bible study. So that's encouraging to see, because part of what I had hoped to do and don't know if I will complete, and it all depends on if the Lord gives me strength of perseverance to do it, is to be able to offer our songbooks when they're totally completed to other families that worship around the country and other English-speaking places to restore psalm worship in the church. So that's something that has pretty much been abandoned and is not given a lot of heed to even by churches that do it still. They have very modern bastardized psalms that don't represent the Word of God anymore. And so, maybe that will give us some encouragement.
Psalm 19. Actually asking the Lord to reveal sin to him so he can that's an amazing prayer, because most of us, I think, if we were to ask ourselves, who really wants God to expose to them how much of a sinner they are so they can repent more? But that's the admonition that we get out of this, out of the psalm. It's to go to the law of God and to have it reveal to us our sins so that we can repent and change our ways to please God. But the Word of God has to be more sweet than the honeycomb for that to happen, more precious than gold.
And, fine gold.
That takes a little bit more. That takes a little bit more. Let us go to a creed out of 1 Corinthians, which is on the fifth page, in the back, Roman numeral 5. And I hope that you can understand some of what we study today, as well as what we have been focusing on by the statement that is made in this confession. So this is from 1 Corinthians 8, 5 through 6. For though there be that are called gods,
whether in heaven or in earth,
as there be gods many and lords many, so called,
to us there is but one God,
the Father,
of whom are all things, and we in him.
And one Lord, Jesus Christ,
by whom are all things, and we by him.
It's important. There is one God to us, and that's that one God represents. God has through Christ made all things. Let's also go to the next creed on the page, which is one we have not said together in a while, which is from 1 Timothy 6, Roman numeral 6, 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 17. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Howbeit,
for this cause I obtained mercy,
that in me first Jesus Christ
might show forth all longsuffering,
for a pattern to them,
which should hereafter believe on him,
to life everlasting,
as he is King,
eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, honored and glorified forever and ever.
I should have been more specific. I was hoping we'd say it all together. That's why we got confused. Rather than have a response over you. So, that is a very important thing to remember. And we'll end today in the reading of the Apostles' Creed, which we try to do every month. Especially, some people don't understand why these things have been instituted, but for younger children specifically, and even older ones for that matter, it's easy to forget these uniting creeds that our ancestors have held for a very long time. So let's say it all together.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into death. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, a holy called-out community, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the flesh, and the life everlasting.